Yeah. Blog Talk Radio.
And that, right, you did too? Oh, okay. Right.
Are you due for a relationship makeover?
Right,
if you had the power to wave magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship?
Now.
Well, there may be some hope.
Now.
You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational program. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a very exciting show for you tonight, and I'm so grateful that all of you all took time out to be with us. I'm going to switch over right quick because I just arrived here, and I believe I'm in Ocala, Florida. And it's we're doing this outside right now, but we'll be inside in a few minutes. So I want to ask Pastor Rose if he'll go ahead and offer a prayer and invite God into our program. Pastor Rose, thank you for joining us.
Eternal God, our Father, whose command is over all and whose love never fails, help us always to be mindful of your presence but obedient to your will. We give honor, Lord, and thanks to you for being here this evening so that we can help others improve their relationships. Thank you for the leadership that we have provided with Dr. Jesse Walker, and we thank you, Lord, for the Blog Talk Radio team that is working together to make a difference, and to continue to be with us and be with us on this Blog Talk Radio show, and bless us all. This prayer we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much for that, Pastor Rose. We certainly do appreciate that. So at this time, I want to go ahead and welcome some of our other co-hosts to tonight's show. Let's begin with Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy, welcome to tonight's show. It's a pleasure to have you here with us.
Thank you so much. Good evening, everybody. I'm so looking forward to tonight's topic. It's going to be very interesting.
Okay. And we have Dr. Patty Cake. Dr. Patty Cake, thanks for joining us this evening.
Good evening. Thank you so much. I'm excited too.
Wait. Uh-huh. Oh, good. And then we have, let's see here, Brother Lorenzo. Brother Lorenzo, thank you for joining us. Good to have you with us.
Great to be here. Great topic last night. And getting ready for this one today. Let's get it.
All right. So if we should go out, it's because I'm bringing the show live from Ocala. We're outdoors, and it looks like it might rain. But don't fret. If we, for some reason, experience technical difficulty, just stand by. It takes us about 2 minutes to try to get back in. So that would be fine. All right, so tonight's topic, you just joined us. When we complain, are we showing our ungratefulness to God? When we complain, are we showing or demonstrating our ungratefulness to God? Let's see what you all think. Let's begin with Brother Lorenzo. Brother Lorenzo, when we complain about anything, are we saying, you know, that it's raining? You know, are we saying, hey, God, you know, we know that the rain needs to come to soil the ground for crops and stuff like that. But are we complaining because we're getting wet? Bill Lorenzo?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Okay, say that again, Dr. Walker.
Okay, so when we complain because it's getting, it's raining, we're getting wet, are we complaining to God even when we know that the soil, the rain has to come to wet the earth so that we can have, you know, vegetation, crop. Are we complaining to say, God, we're ungrateful to you?
Not in that instance. I think you just I just think you're complaining because you, because you're getting wet. I don't think that anything else has to do with it. I think, you know, it's about the soil getting wet and everything. I don't think you're thinking about that as you, as the rain coming down and you get soaking wet. All you're thinking about doing is trying to get dry.
Okay, so let me go over here to Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy, it's 85 degrees on some days, and we just came out of temperatures of 29 degrees. But now we hit Florida, and it's 85 degrees. So the question becomes, are we complaining about that? I mean, talk to me.
I'm a Michigan girl originally. So I have to say I've been through all the seasons, and I can complain about each and every one of them. But in the retrospect of rain, I don't mind being caught in the rain. I think it's fun. I used to play in the rain when I was younger. So it's just... You come in and you change and you dry off and it is what it is because we do need the rain. But, yeah, it's not good to complain. Depending, I mean, we all have to complain. It's good to release, but you can't live in that cortisol releasing kind of mode all the time.
Okay, so what about here we are when we get over here past the road and those 85-degree temperatures. We just left 29 degrees. We were complaining about that because it was too cold. Now we hit Florida, 85 degrees, and it's like, wow, it's hot. I can't take this here. It's too hot. So are we complaining? I mean, are we ever satisfied, Pastor Rowe?
Well, you know, our humanity, you know, we go through, you know, but I just feel that in all things, you know, that we experience, you know, all good things come from the Lord. And in all things, we should give thanks. We should give thanks, you know, whatever happened. You know, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, that's difficult from the human perspective. But we got to give, you know, come to a point in our life where we got to, you know, give thanks to the Lord for all things. For all things, good things come from the Lord that made the heavens and the earth.
But when we're not doing that, and that's the question, when we're not doing that, are we showing ungratefulness? Go ahead.
Doctor, can I get my perception on that? Just a tidbit.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was in Wisconsin where it was 4 degrees, but then I drove to Miami, Florida, the same day, and it was 80 degrees that day. So instead of me complaining, I was shouting hallelujah.
You see, that's what I'm talking about. But see, you're far in between because you got some people who they complaining because it's 4 degrees and then they complaining because it's 80 something degrees. So what is God supposed to do? You know, he created us all, he made the seasons, but now it's like he can't please everybody. So it's like when you think that it would upset God if we are showing ungratefulness. Brother Lorenzo, let me stay with you for a second. Would it?
For my travels, I think you got to take the good with the bad. But that's what God gives. He gives it at 4 degrees in Wisconsin. When I was there, it felt like fresh air. You know what I mean? So I thank God when I was in 4 degrees. And as it was getting warmer when I was in Miami, it was 80 degrees. I had sandals and shorts on. And I praised the God there. So at 4 degrees, I was praying to God. And at 80 degrees, I was praising to God. So I'm just thanking God through anything. So you got to have that attitude and that perception, hey, if God is blessing us when it's 4 degrees or 80 degrees.
All right. Dr. Patty Cakes, I want to bring you in here. Dr. Patty Cakes, you go to the store to run in to grab something for one of your kids. You're in a hurry. And this lady comes up to you at the store. She's begging for money. That's really what she's doing. She's begging for money. Hey, can you spare a dollar, you know, can you spare a couple of dollars so that I can get me something to eat? You know, so what do you do? But then at the same time, you give her a dollar. And she says, that's all you got? You can't give me $5? I mean, is she ungrateful? And then for the dollar that you gave her? So how do you feel about that, Dr. Patty Cates?
Yeah. So actually, somebody came up to me in a public parking lot one day, and I was a single mom, and she came up to me and was saying, asking for money, and she said, I have a gift card here, but I need, and I fell for it, I need cash for something. I forget, she was trying gas or something, and it wouldn't work, and I fell for it, and I'm like, okay, fine, here. I took her gift card, and I went into Publix, and it didn't work. So I gave her money, I took her gift card, and yeah, and it's like, that's a whole other thing, because you don't know, like, how desperate people are, if they're just doing it out of, like, survival, and then they really feel bad about it. But yeah, I feel like in the instance that you just described, that yeah, they're ungrateful. And I remember offering money to homeless people or people that appear to be homeless on the side of the road, and they would, like, I'd offer them food or like toiletries, and they would scoff at those items. They wanted money.
Yeah. Okay. So okay, here we are with that. So, okay, so how that made you feel like she's ungrateful. But imagine, could you imagine how God feels when, okay, 4 degrees temperature. Oh, it's cold, it's freezing. But we chose to live where it's 4 degrees. We chose to maybe live in that area. We, you know, it's hot here in Florida. We chose to vacation there or to live there. And it's like, I mean, people, you know, I often have said, that, you know, people are glad that I'm not God. I would have just destroyed all of us. I would have just destroyed the whole human race because we're not satisfied. We're ungrateful. So I want to go ahead and bring, because that God says ain't none of us good. None of us good. And it repented him to his heart to have created us. All right, so let's go ahead. Let me go here. Darren Deedy, another scenario. You go into the store, and now as you're going in, you're holding the door for someone. You're holding the door for someone.
Mm-hmm. Thank
you. You know, you're holding the door for someone. You're holding the door for someone. And all of a sudden now, they go in, and the man and a woman, and he won't even hold the door for you as a lady to let you go on in. And all of a sudden, you know, they don't even say thank you for holding the door for them. Do you feel like they were ungrateful and you held the door and a man wouldn't even be a gentleman?
Not really, but a common courtesy would have been said thank you, but I wouldn't say anything to them. I'm just like that. I would stand there and hold the door for somebody if they're 10 feet behind me. I'm like, now it seems like people don't have any kind of courtesy. They're 3 feet in front of you, and they let the door slam in your face. So, I don't say anything out loud, but I have things going on in my mind. That's all.
Okay, but you did think, you thought that person that went and wouldn't even say thank you, you felt that they were ungrateful. And does that make you feel at any way, and I'm asking for honesty and transparency here, did that make you feel like if I had known they weren't not going to be grateful, I wouldn't have held the door for them? Did that make you feel that way?
No.
Well,
shake my head.
But I've been there before where I've held it several times for people, and they wouldn't even say thank you. And it says in my heart, I say, well, you know what? Had I known that, I wouldn't have even held the door for him. You know? And so I'm just thinking, but God loves us so much, even with our ungratefulness, he still takes care of us. Pastor Rolo, I want to bring you in here now, Pastor Rolo, and let's take a look at this here now. I mean, do you think God's patience will run out for us? Because the Bible tells us that his spirit will gradually withdraw from the earth. Talk to me, Pastor Rowe. Will we run out of favor with God?
Well, we'll never, you know, run out favor with God. You know, God is a good God, you know. But along the line that you're talking about, just, you know, everybody know about what happened in Turkey. You know, over 37,000 people was destroyed, you know. Are these people going to say, are they going to be ungrateful, Lord, why you let this happen to us? You know, they're going through pain and they're going through suffering. Are these people going to say, thank you, Jesus, and they've lost their children and people still under the rubbles and crying out, you know? Are they ungrateful?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why did this happen to me? You know, they're asking this question. You know, but that's, mm-hmm. I just wanted to, you know, hit on it from another angle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so that's a good point. That's a very good point. Very good point. That's a very good point, Pastor Rose. So then, when we look at it from that perspective, do you think it's possible that people are over there now in Turkey sad? Of course they are. And wondering, why would God even allow this to happen? What are your thoughts on that, Pastor Rose? How can you really show gratefulness when you've lost your loved ones in such a catastrophe?
Well, you know, it's God is a sovereign God, you know, and he talked about, you know, things, you know, perilous times will come, you know, there'd be earthquakes and this in diverse places, you know. But it's difficult, you know, to say, you know, how you going to say thank you, Jesus, when you lost your children, your grandchildren, and all of that. You got to have a high level of faith to thank God when you're going through such tragedies as these people are going through. There's a point in God that we got to arrive to, you know, and, you know, it would be difficult when you done lost, you know, family members and all of this, I wouldn't be appreciative. I would want to know why God, why this and why that, you know, but we know what the scripture says, but it's hard to be grateful when you've gone through such tragedies.
Right. So Darren Deedy, let me bring you in here. And now all of a sudden you've lost, you know, not you, but we don't wish that on anyone, but people who've lost loved ones, like Pastor Roll is saying here now. And all of a sudden now, they're saying a person from the church comes and says to you, well, you know what? You got to trust God. And then all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. All things work. And you're looking at them like, I just lost my loved one, and you're expecting me to trust God. You know, you're expecting me to believe what you're saying. And then they go on further to say, I'm going to be praying for you, my sister. How does that make you feel? How would that make you feel?
Well, you know, it's actually a very hard. I, my best friend lost her son 3 years ago, and she's still grieving deeply. But, of course, she's in Michigan, and I'm here in Florida. But we do a video chat every week, and we go over Bible studies, and we're always reading self-improvement books. And they seem to have really helped her and pulled her out, because she's just stuck in the mindset to where it was all her fault. You know, he was a growing young man, you know, and he got shot. It had nothing to do with her, you know. But she, like, blames herself that because she didn't raise him right. So he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I mean, she just kept going over and over. And I just pray for her and let her know that I'm praying for her and allow her to grieve and not to forget to pray to God, because he does lessen the burden. It'll always be a part of her. I've reminded her, but the hurt does ease. So you got to keep on loving God.
Yeah. So, see, that's the thing. That's the very thing. So, Dr. Patrick, I want to bring you back in here and ask the question, you know, all of a sudden now, people are just not, they're not grateful. It happens where a situation where it's ungratefulness that takes place because, let's just say, this woman's son was involved in a game, 17 years old. And all of a sudden now, he did have a gun. He shot out at somebody, but then the person died. But it was several people. And then he's one of the people that they got on camera as his firearm. And all of a sudden now, this mother who's been praying for her child, he's now, the police come, and raid the house and get him. And she sees her son escorted in handcuffs. And now how can she be, after all of her praying to keep him out of, with the, you know, from away from the bad neighborhood and people, how can she be grateful now that her son stayed in that game and he shot somebody, and now he's being accused of killing somebody? What is she supposed to do with that? Dr. Patrick? Okay, let me switch that over to Pastor Rowe real quick. Pastor Rowe, what can that mother say? She's been praying and hoping that her son gets out of that game. And all of a sudden she gets this phone call now that he's accused of murder. You know, he's one of several guys, but they caught him on camera. So either way, he's going down. So Pastor Rowe, is she supposed to be grateful?
Well, you know, there's a point in our lives that, okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay.
Yes.
You know, we got, you know, all of us got to get to the point of like Job did. You know, all of these things was happening to him, you know, and just things worse than what you're talking about. But Job, how did he deal with all of these things that would happen? You know, he had a firm faith in God. I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand at the latter day, you know. But all the days of my appointed time, I'm going to wait until my change comes. So we got to have that kind of attitude, you know, wait and trust the Lord. Whatever happens, trust the Lord. And believe, you have the faith of Job.
You
know, to know that God lives. You know, God lives, and He's going to be there for us ultimately if we trust Him.
Right, right. Okay,
and
so
that's difficult to do. I can say Scripture, you know, but I don't know whether I could do that when all of these things is happening. Say, why me, God? Why? But there's a point in our life where we got to become like, you know, we always, everybody knows the patience of Job. We got to be patient. You know, they that wait on the Lord, he will renew their strength. You know, they'll mount up with wings of eagles. They'll run and not be weary.
No.
They'll walk and not faint.
No.
We got to trust him.
That's one aspect.
Okay. So that other part is, we hear what you're saying, but not everybody is where Job is. Not everybody is where Job is.
How are you?
You know what I'm saying? Not everybody.
You're right.
How are you doing?
You're right.
You know, not everybody is where Job is. So, Brother Lorenzo, how do you expect people to be there? How do you expect people to be there? So how do you expect that?
It comes to the point from that mother. Is that, I mean, it's so far that you can pray and everything for the kids, just like a preacher's kid or anything else. You can take a kid, but so far, you know, you can train up a child and everything, but it's on them to go by your rules and listen to your instructions and stuff like that. I can understand that the guy is in handcuffs now and he's about to get arrested. But that's not per se, that's not on her, because it took him as far as he could go. But it's not on him as he starts to become an adult to make good decisions and wear the ornament around him to be wise. So it's nasty. She might feel some kind of way and might feel some, you know, hey, it's my fault or anything like that. And then that depression and stuff start to fall on him. But ultimately, it's his decision to make for his own future.
Right, I get that, and you know that's the important thing. But then, you know, Dr. Patty Case, you know, I understand, and the situation is of such. Another scenario, you know, when your baby is sick, and not yours. Let me not go to you, Dr. Patty Case. Let me come. Let's go with. Let's go with Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy.
Yes.
Child is sick. A six-month-old has COVID. The mother doesn't know if he's going to make it or not. And she's praying for the protection of God. And the baby just barely makes it. So, you know, it makes it. But another mother whose child didn't make it, Now, one is saying, I praise God for his blessing. And she says that to this other woman, not knowing that her child didn't make it. So what are we supposed to do, Darren Deedy? Is that gratefulness or ungratefulness?
It's both. It's a two-sided coin, but she just needs to pray for that other woman. But in retrospect,
but even though
she
didn't
really
know, she didn't know that this other woman
died
of COVID.
Well, it depends on what that other woman feels if she told her in front of her, but she still needs to praise God. And, you know, even when our loved ones leave us, I've been taught at an early age that they've gone to a heavenly place, a nice place, and they're at peace. So I don't look at it like it's a bad thing. Sure, we're going to miss them. We'll remember them. And it hurts you deeply, but yet my heart is filled that they've gone to a better place. So it was their calling. So I tend to handle death a little easier than most, I think.
Okay. All right. So, Brother Lorenzo, here we have it. These guys were betting on the Super Bowl. They were betting on the Super Bowl. And they actually, it was a group of them. And one of the guys, he put his 1 month salary up of $2,000 on the Super Bowl. And he's like, you know, I got so much faith in God that my team's going to win. His team lost. His team lost. And now he's upset because he's out of $2,000. So should he be grateful or ungrateful to God? Because he was praying that his team win. But the other guy who betted against him was praying too. So did one receive the blessings and the other one didn't?
No, that's just the way the ball bounces when you're gambling. You know what I mean? Sometimes you win, sometimes ain't got nothing to do with God. That's just the way the ball bounces. Sometimes you're going to beat the spread, sometimes you're not. You know what I mean? A lot of people just put a lot of things on God, but ain't got nothing to do with God. Hey, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. That's gambling. When you're going to gambling, it's like 50% you're looking at. So what you're trying to do is be 50%, you know. So that don't have anything to do with God. He just got lucky. He thought he won the money. He would have lost $2,000, you know what I mean? Then he would have had it. Take that money back, then you know what I mean? Go through all kinds of stuff to do it. So when you're gambling like that, you got to know what you're doing. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, though.
Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. All right, Dr. Patty Cakes. Dr. Patty Cakes, are you back with us?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Patty Cakes. So, Dr. Patty Cakes, go ahead. All right, so my question to you, Dr. Patty Cakes, is all of a sudden now, this man has a family, and all of a sudden now, he's gambling, and he keeps telling his wife, baby, he's been going to the dog tracks, and he says, baby, I came so close to a trifecta, you know, where I could win this big money. And he's putting gambled his paycheck. And, you know, he's going back to his wife. He just left there after spending $500. And he comes back to her and he says, baby, all I need is $50 more. I came so close. I need $50 more. And she's telling him, no, that's not what God's will. That's not what God's will is. So, Dr. Pettigate, he gambles so much, he loses his wife, and they lose their home. So should that wife be grateful when she was praying for her husband to stop gambling?
Should she be grateful when she was praying to stop?
She was praying that he would stop gambling, and, you know,
right. Because
he lost everything. And now he lost her, and she loved him, and they lost their house. And now the woman is homeless. So what happened to her prayers?
Her prayers, it's so hard because we pray for things that, you know, sometimes it's the unanswered prayers, you know, that God's plan is in your life that you can't see past, you know. I mean, obviously that's very sad. And it is, you know, his fault, you know, the addiction's fault to this man, but I mean, I don't know what exactly you're asking, but her prayer, I don't know. I mean, I hear that all the time in my own life, a prayer that you want so badly answered and it's not answered.
So when it's not answered, are you supposed to be grateful or ungrateful?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be grateful and say, you know what, if you think of it this way, even though you don't understand, that's what God says, you know, lean not on your own understanding, but
right.
You say this or something better, this or something better. Okay, God, this or something better, you know, having to try to trust. And I really think you are supposed to be grateful in all circumstances, yet also, you know, experiencing human emotion and experiencing those, like, you can't just be like, oh, I should be grateful. I hate it when people are like, oh, it could be worse. Oh, you should be grateful it's not this, right? Well, that's just, that minimizes, like, the pain and the suffering and the experience that person is having in matters. That's sad. She lost everything, lost her house, lost her relationship, you know, and a friend or whatever. So that's sad. You can't just suck it up and be like, oh, I should be grateful. It's like a process that includes all of that, like grieving, all the steps of grief. And then in that, you can, when you get past the, like, the bad steps of grief, then you can kind of have the awareness of, like, okay, I'm grateful. And even though I don't understand, I'm going to just choose to trust you. But, like, it takes time to get there, you know?
Okay, so Dr. Pettigate, you said be grateful in all things. You said that. And then your concluding mm-hmm. commentary was you've just learned to trust God. So, okay, be grateful in all things. My best friend, who happened to be my mother, my best friend was killed in a car accident. So along with my niece who was driving the car. And all of these stories are inspired by true story. This was my best friend. My mom was my best friend. Killed in a car accident. And so am I supposed to be grateful for that? You say mm-hmm. be grateful in all things? Dr. Pettigate,
well,
really?
Exactly. And that's exactly why I said, you know, like, and that's super tragic. So that's totally different than, oh, I didn't get into Harvard University or I didn't get my, you know, whatever. My big celebration was destroyed by a hurricane, whatever. Yeah, that's like level 10, and that's like level 1. So, but like I said, like, that, I have no idea because I haven't been through that, but I know that's tragic, right? So as I was saying, the human emotion, the reaction to that is I'm sad, I'm depressed, I am angry, I am bargaining all the stages of grief, and I don't think you could ever be grateful for that because how could you be grateful for that? But
Right. My mom was only 68. She was young and beautiful. Huh?
Wow.
She was young and beautiful. And I mean, like, I felt robbed. But you know what you said? Your final commentary was, you know, trusting God. And I had to, let me tell you something, that was the hardest thing. Because that's been over 25 years, and not a day goes by that I don't think about my mom. Not a day goes by that I don't think about my mom. And I just wish I had her here just to tell her I love her again. Not a day goes by. And it almost brings tears to my eyes right now, just the thought of that. And it's like, my gosh, and she was going to have dinner with me that evening. She came down to have dinner with me that evening. And it's like, I'm just, you know, and then I had to ultimately tell God, God, I'm going to trust you. Because, I mean, I just felt so angry. Because she was so young and beautiful, my best friend. She just had a spirit of love. So, you know, and we hear people say these things, but then it's that human element. It's hard sometimes. It really is. Because to lose a mom or to lose a kid, you know, I thank God my kids are still alive, but to lose a mom, you never get over that. And so, Dr. Patty Cates, I say to you, Pastor, I want to bring you in here now and say, how can you tell people who are grieving to just, you know, hey, we're going to pray for you. You're going to get through this. When they're going through their storm, and my storm has been 25 years, but, you know, I just function every day. but I keep her memory alive. So what do you tell them, these people, so that they could be grateful?
Well, a lot of times, you know, sometimes it's good not to say anything. You know, sometimes we talk too much, but just to be there with the person, you know, they know they can feel the love, you know, that's coming from you, you know. It's a lot of times, you know, when it's tragedies and, you know, and you go to somebody that lost a loved one, you just go there sometimes, you just hold their hands, you know, and don't say anything, you know, that they can feel the emotion. Sometimes we talk too much when we should just be quiet, you know. But God is too wise to make a mistake. You know, we just gotta, you know, as scripture say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Now, I put note on at all times, you know, through difficulties, through your mountaintops experience and your valley experience, I will bless him at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. So that's the thing that we have to learn, is learn how to bless the Lord. And we was talking about gamblers and things like that, you know, but the scriptures say heaven and earth will pass away, but his word would abide forever. The Bible say no gamblers and whoremongers and sorcerers and so on. You can Google it. No gamblers will enter into the kingdom of God. So you're familiar, great. You're familiar with that scripture. So, I mean, people playing the lottery. I put $5 on the ticket. You know, that's a kind of gambling. But you have to ask your question, are you gambling when you get a lottery ticket for $5? You know, I see it every day. A person, you know, gave $5 and they got $100,000. You know, gamblers. But God's word is going to abide. You know, so you have to ask your question, do I gamble or do I don't gamble? Is God's word the truth or is it a lie?
Yeah. All right, we're going to actually stand by. Dr. Patrick Hicks, I want to bring you back in here. Going back to that same accident, my sister's only daughter, her only daughter, 18, her only daughter, she has a son and a daughter, her only daughter was killed in that same car accident with my mom. Her daughter went to private school all of her life, church school. You know, I mean, never had a man or anything like that. Did all the right things accordingly. And the Bible tells us that honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days will be long. She died at 18. This week, my sister had to go to the hospital. This was 25 years ago. She had to go to the hospital for fainting spells that she has. She hasn't gotten over that yet. And so how do you tell her to be grateful? To be grateful. Every time it happens, they call me so that I can walk, take her through this experience. But how do you expect her to be grateful when her daughter never even gave her a grandkid, never experienced having a boyfriend, never experienced even dating or getting married, but never getting an opportunity to see her child grow up? Dr. Patty Cakes, how can I tell her to be grateful?
I don't think that saying that is something that those people want to hear. And I've been in the awkward situations of friends with losses that are very tragic. And I don't know what to say. And a lot of times I stumble around the words and then I say, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. I don't want to make you sad. And one of the comments I get from this one woman who lost two of her kids, that her husband shot and killed. My husband's best friend shot and killed two of their kids. And when I tell her that, I don't know how to, you know what to say. I don't want to make you sad. And she says, it's okay. She says, I'm always sad. That's her comment. I'm always sad. You saying something isn't going to make me more sad because I'm always sad. And so with her, if you try to just say, be grateful, I mean, that comes off kind of like I don't want to say rude, but insensitive, because if you're sitting there and you haven't lost your child and you're sitting there and you're telling this person be grateful, like you cannot understand what they are going through unless you literally went through the exact same thing. So I don't think that that's the way to go about it.
Right. I think what you all are saying here tonight makes absolute sense. When people are going through their storm, especially like that, losing a loved one like that, because, you know, I'm going to tell you something. When people came up to me, even months later, and telling me that, oh, well, God knows best, you know, maybe it was her time, it made me want to hurt them. I'm serious. Because that is the wrong thing. You're saying that about my mother, who I lost at a young age, and she was such a good woman. And then you're saying, you know, maybe it was just best for her. How is that? Let me bring Brother Lorenzo. Let me bring in Marjorie Cross. We're going to get to you in a moment. Thank you for your patience. Brother Lorenzo, how can you expect somebody to be grateful and appreciative of words like that? Talk
to me. I lost my dad 15 years ago, and I lost my mom 8 years ago. The hurt never goes away, but what you have to do is you got to look at it from another perspective. You have to look at it as though their spirit is still with you. I know somebody might just come up to you and say, you know, in the embryo stage of you losing your parents, you know, you really want to be to yourself and stuff like that, but you take it all in gratitude, you know, and people say, hey, I'm sorry for your loss, and maybe not what you just said to me, maybe just the time. You got to be at an even keel when you're dealing with that kind of death. So the way I deal with it now is that, I mean, it was just my anniversary of my mom dying on January 8th last month. But instead of me being sad, it's more of a happiness now for me, because I know she's in heaven and my dad is in heaven. And all the things that they taught me through the life, I still remember those words of wisdom and just talking to them, just like my grandparents. It's more of a maturity now with me, and I, you know me, and I can still feel like I can still talk to them in spirit. So you got to get to that level of how you grieve. Some people take grieving, some people take sorrow in a different way. My grieving and my sorrow is more of a happiness now, because they're still with me, and I just talk to God through spirit while they're still with me in my spirit through this. So that's the way I take it now. I'm not sorry. I'm not sad or anything like that when it comes by. Right when their birthday comes around, I'm so happy and I'm joyful for them being in my life, the time that God let me be in my life. That's the way I look at it.
Excellent point. We're going to bring in Marjorie Cross. Ms. Cross, thank you for your patience. We certainly do appreciate that. Ms. Cross, I mean, here another scenario. What are some ways that people can really show gratitude and gratefulness instead of complaining all the time?
Well, good evening, Dr. Walker. Good evening, Pastor Roland, and all your co-hosts and everyone. Yes, very interesting show as usual. When you know, like as you said, I lost my daughter a few years ago, and it still hurts so much. You know, because I don't think that pain will ever go away. And when somebody and other, you know, my mom, dad, you know, other family members, but I don't think that pain will ever go away. It will always stay with you, but it's the way you deal with it, you know, because the last stage is accepted. So you go through the now, you know, and everything. But at the same time, you know, you just say no matter what happened, you just thank God for the time you had that they were here with you. And you're sorry that you lose them, you know, but we thank God, you know, for all the time. I agree with what Brother Lorenzo was saying about, you know, the way he deals with it. That is good. But you never, and sorry about with your mom and your niece too, Dr. Walker. You never forget it. So, you know, you're always going to have them. And as Brother Lorenzo was saying, the spirit will stay with you. So no matter what, you could talk to them in the spirit and you just feel like they're right next to you. You know, but you can grieve, but at the same time, you're happy and sad. You know, so when somebody says, I know what you're going through, if they haven't lost a child or a loved one real close to them, they really don't know what you're going through. They just say they know what they're doing. You know? So, you know,
right.
We just, as I said, you know, we thank God for the time we had them. And we just say, Lord, you miss them. You really will. So I know how you feel, Dr. Walker. Yeah,
right,
thank
right.
you.
And that's a very good point, Ms. Cross. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank
and
you.
I
You're
do
welcome.
Want to say that, and I like what you all are saying here, and Brother Renzo, I certainly appreciate your commentary as well, because her spirit, my mother's spirit, lives within me, and she has that spirit of love, and that's all we do. All I want to do is give love, spread love everywhere that I can. So what I did to keep that spirit alive, the school that my niece went to, grad school, I started a lunch program in honor of their niece to keep that legacy going. And I'm going to enhance that program with some other schools just to keep her name out there or their names out there, you know, to help people. And with these countries that these seven countries that we've adopted, then what we're going to do, Pastor Roland, I'm putting it out there in your ear, we're going to do some other things, like I want to build a school in Haiti over there. That's what we want to do this year. And part of that will be part of the legacy for her. So keep that. I'm dropping that with you. That's a goal of mine as well. We have to be. It will happen from one moment to the next. At about 1 o'clock today as I'm traveling, I was sleeping, and I get a text message that comes in. And she sends me this video. She says, Dad, this is just what happened to our house in Orlando, Florida. A car ran into their house. And she said, I talked to my son, he called me. And he said, Dad, it was like a missile that went off. He had to leave work and go home. His mother-in-law was injured, and she may have a broken arm, and something hit her in the head from the impact of that car crashing into their wall. And so I said, well, sudden, from the geographics of where he lives, I said, someone had to have been speeding and ran a stop sign. And he said, Dad, the car jumped the fence. And I saw the car. I saw the car. It jumped the fence. So now I've got all of these police surrounding them. So listen, when we think it's really so bad, I'm grateful because I have two granddaughters that live there. They could have been sitting in that living room. So you never know. Nobody in there would have ever expected a car run through your house. And his daughter could have been sitting on the sofa because right where the car landed, it crashed through that wall. But I am grateful that's when you talk about being grateful, we just never know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just took the breath out of me to see that.
Wow.
To see that. And that's something that he never would have imagined. Nobody would have ever imagined that. Yeah. So, Darren Deedy, I want to go to you now. Darren Deedy, do we suppose to live each day as though it was the best day of our life?
Mm-hmm.
With gratitude and thankfulness, aren't
mm-hmm.
we?
You should actually. The best way to go at life is one day at a time. Be present and enjoy life. It goes quick. I feel like I'm still 21 and I'm knocking on 60. So it goes really quick.
Yeah.
So you just have to enjoy each day and count it as a blessing because no one's guaranteed tomorrow. So try to live it joyfully as you can.
Right. And I understand. We're almost out of time, you all. And I want to go ahead. And, it's almost as if you really do. Like, I pray for my family every single morning. Every single morning for protection. And who knows that the protection may have come today. But I want to say to you all that's listening under the sound of my voice, don't ever give up hope. No matter what's going on, we've got to find ways to continuously be grateful. Be grateful. Like I gave you the scenario, Brother Lorenzo, you leave in one city where it's 4 degrees, and the next day you're 85 degrees in Florida. but you're grateful, and Pastor, I like what you said. We have got to reach a mindset that, you know what, we're not all there, and it takes us a while to get there. But even
Amen.
With what happened to my mom, let me tell you what, I don't hold that against God. I am just grateful for the time that I had with her, because you know what? Every Friday night was my night with my mom. I would call her. I would sit in a corner of my house, and that was my time with my mom on the phone. She lived in Orlando. I lived in Miami. And that was my time. Of 9 children she had, that was my time. And it was like my kids didn't bother me. I just sat there on the phone for as long as she wanted to, just feeling her love and just talking to her. We laughed. We played together, you know, and on the phone, because and I made it a point to see my mom every month. I would make it a point to see her every month. And she would often come to my house, the last house of her 9 children, to have dinner and stay with me for like 3 months. And you know, nobody can take that memory away from me. So when we look at it, let's look at not things as to be ungrateful for, but let's look at the time that we share, that we had together, the memories that are
Amen.
Created, that are life-lasting. You know, because there's a train that comes for all of us. And let me tell you something. That train does not discriminate against time, age, or any of these things. And so all we
Amen.
Got is to spread love every single day. You know, because it's not that, anything else is not that serious. It's not that serious. So stop meditating. The man cuts over in front of you on the road. And there used to be a time when I want to catch up to him and say, you idiot, what you thinking about? But now that person will blow your brains out. So instead, don't we need to be grateful that he didn't run into my car, I didn't run into his car, that I hit the brakes in time? So I like what you said, Brother Lindsay. We need to look at life from a different perspective and say it could be worse.
Amen.
It could be. Talk to me, Brother Lorenzo. Do you think that other perspective, we have to grow to reach that point?
No, I think it's just the way you look at things. It's life and life experiences. You know what I mean? Just like I'm on the road now, going all the way to Atlanta on like a 15-hour trip. And this is like 10 people done cut in front of me, but I have inner peace within myself,
and
I don't let any outside things bother me, because you know I might not even see that person ever again in my life. So why should I get mad at something that's not gonna, you know what I mean, deter me from getting to where I'm going? My main goal is to get to Atlanta, Georgia, in peace. So when I get into my rim, when I first start driving, I pray to God, let me get there in safety and without any argument or talking trash to anybody else, or start none, or road rage or anything. And when I reach my destination, I thank God too. So I'm enjoying my whole trip while I'm on the phone talking to you good people and praising the Lord. And I can feel that hurt in your voice, Doctor. I can feel that hurt in your voice, Doctor Walker, man. And I'm going to be praying for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think you're gonna get to the point where you're gonna have happiness in your heart one day, but it's gonna take time. You know what I mean? I know it's been a long time, but you're gonna get there.
And you know the thing about it is, I still cry in silence sometimes because I miss my mom so much, and I understand, and I do understand. And you know the thing is, I look at life as that we're not going through it, the journey. We're growing through it. And so because
Amen.
Of what I've had to experience, and I've had to eulogize 8 to 10 family members, including my mom and dad, and it's like I look back and I say, I'm able to now, you know, go to someone else who's gone through that and then give them words of comfort. You know what I'm saying? So our experiences,
Amen.
You all, when we can get to that point that Pastor Rowe talked about, when we can get to that point, it's to help somebody else make it through. Because you never know what people are going through. We're on, let me tell you something, the Spirit of God is with us today as we travel on this bus. And let me tell you something, the bus broke down like four times. We are like four and a half hours behind schedule. Behind schedule. But there was such a calmness on that, and I just left Atlanta for Lorenzo. You're trying to get to Atlanta. We're going to wave at me over there because we got a house in there. So, but the thing is, the Spirit of God was on that bus. Nobody got upset. The bus broke down, and we broke down on the middle of, I think it was I-75, in the middle of the road.
Amen.
And it's like there was angels and campers about us. So we just, you know, you got to be grateful all the time, no matter what's going on. And sometimes that's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard because my attitude hasn't always been that calm. It really hasn't.
Right.
It's been like, you know, I'm ready to, you know, not ready to back down with people. But now I'm learning, and God has put people in my life that keeps me calm. And you know what? And God is always on time to send those kind of people, you know, a special person that will give you that calmness that you need. Because he knows, he may not give you everything that you want, but what you need is important.
Amen.
We're almost out of time.
Amen.
Just quickly here, I want to touch base with as many of you all as I possibly can, starting with you, Ms. Marjorie Cross. I want to ask you, what can you tell our audience tonight to be grateful for instead of complaining about stuff? I mean, it gets on my nerves when people are complaining. You know, you can't change the sun. You can't change the moon. You can't alter the weather. Go ahead, Ms. Markin.
Yes. I would say for, you know, everything, as you say, Thessalonians saying, everything gives thanks. So, you know, we have to be grateful for everything. When we wake up in the morning, I say, good morning, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for waking me up and showing me my right mind, and also be grateful for everything. You know, like whether it's sunny, whether it's rainy, whatever the weather is, we should be grateful. So just give thanks for everything and be grateful for everything.
Right. And you know what? And I want to just say, and I'm looking in the mirror at when I say this here, I'm talking to myself, you all. I need to see when I start getting upset and I want to complain about something, I need to take like 10 deep breaths and just say, God, you know what? Work with me to be grateful. Because, you know, I'm telling you, it's like he will put the people in your life. But you know what? Mm-hmm. We have to recognize that the people in our life to bring us that calmness that we have. Let's go to Pastor Rowe. Just quickly, Pastor Rowe, because we're almost out of time. Give me some reasons that, so I listen on, instead of complaining, how they can, like I'm talking about, I'm going to start taking 10 deep breaths. You know, that ought to calm me down because guess what? You do something stupid out there, you're going to jail. And now they got, you know, they got to tell you when you're going to eat breakfast, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, and then you got to bend over and pick up the soap. You ain't trying to pick up the soap. Y'all know what I mean out there. So,
oh, yeah.
So, Pastor, yeah. And it's like, I mean, you got 5 guys trying to come on to you. I mean, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Hold up. You about to die in prison. So, Pastor Rowe, I want to take my 10 deep breaths. Pastor Rowe, give us something real quick. 15 seconds less. We're running out of time. We got 90 seconds.
Well, I just want to say to our listening audience and those that are us that are here, you know, we get our medicine, we get our prescription, you know, from the Word of God itself. And Scripture tells us that, you know, we are to bless the Lord at all times, and His praises shall continue to be in our mouth, you know, not complaints.
All right.
And things like that.
Right.
And I just want to say, as Marjorie Cross, my sister, was just saying, in all things, you know, we ought to give thanks. And just think of the things that we can do. As Dr. Walker, our honorable leader, was just saying, the legacy that, you know, that he wanted to leave for his mother, and reaching out in one of the 7 countries that we represent, you know, that's a way to remember, you know, we have a legacy. And Dr. Walker, you have established that legacy with Blog Talk Radio Show. and we're very proud of all the work that you're doing, and we're going to hold your arms up. If you want to get a replay of this show that we had tonight, just go to relationshipsrestored.info. Relationshipsrestored.info.
Restored.info. We certainly do appreciate that, Pastor Rowe. We're you know, I got to get off the air, you all. But I wanted to give others just an opportunity. Let's go to we went right across. Darren Deedy, just quickly, something to be grateful for when people are complaining. Can you just go up and give somebody a hug that you know? Not somebody you don't know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've actually approached a stranger just so I can just see the look on their face and introduce myself and just give them a hug. And I said, I feel your funk, and no funk's allowed in my area. So, and
oh,
I brought
good.
A smile
all
to
right.
their face. So
okay.
I love doing stuff like that. Absolutely.
Excellent. Brother Lorenzo,
thank
quickly.
You.
Quickly, Brother Lorenzo, instead of somebody complaining, what can they be grateful for?
I'm grateful for the mother of my children, for bearing my children.
All right. Okay. Dr. Tanner Case, we're going to let you close us out here with, give us a thought, just briefly here, on instead of somebody complaining, how they can spread love and be grateful. You know, like I wake up every day, it's a party for me. Every single day I try to wake up, even when I'm not feeling well. It's like I just want to, because every day is another day that God has given me for being a cancer survivor. And I will never forget his blessings, his grace, his mercy, you know, for giving me another day. So, Dr. Patty K, mm-hmm. go ahead. Something to be grateful for. Something to be grateful for.
Okay. So when people complain and they're stuck in that complaining and they need to shift to the gratefulness, I think to get out of that, it's like you have to have some personal, like, quiet time, whether it's journaling, so that you can get in the right mindset for gratefulness, because you can't just positive talk someone into gratefulness. They have to feel it themselves, right? So if they're in this frustration or living in insanity, the definition of insanity, and wondering why every single day they're feeling miserable or they're complaining, and they don't even like that about them own selves, you know, to just kind of like take a time out and know that, hey, as bad as this energy feels right now, it can shift into the good just as easily, but you've got to get out of that mindset, and you can't see it when you're in it, how to change it. So you kind of just have to do, like you said, trick your anatomy into whatever it has to be. If you have to stop and you have to go to the beach to watch the sunrise, or go to a yoga class, or do, you know, a special prayer, or whatever it is to kind of like get you out of that. Because if you're stuck in that, there's no like just talking yourself into a pep talk of stopping complaining. And it is a habit. So maybe have an accountability partner, someone like a mentor or someone that you can pray with, that you can confide in and just be brutally honest. Hey, I don't like this about me. I want to work on this, and kind of like check in with that person. Hey, how is that coming along with you? I'm praying for you. And like, you know, retraining your actual brain to stop that habit too, because I'm very easily, you know, in this situation myself a lot. And then the complaining,
right.
it just brings more of that negative energy. It's the more of what you
right.
don't want.
Right.
So you're in this, like, snowball, you know, disaster. You, like, just want to hit the panic button. Hey, restart, like, restart the computer, you know. So
right.
I just, you know, have hope that you can change it. And every day is a new day. Like you said, wake up with a new mindset. Hey, today, I'm gonna, if I did better by 5% today, that is
mm-hmm.
a win. And celebrate that.
Right.
Win for
we're
you.
Out of
acknowledge it. Give yourself credit.
Excellent, excellent thought. Listen, we're out of time, you all, completely. And I just want to add something to what Dr. Patty Cakes was just saying, and that is find your happy place in life. Like mine sometimes is music, being around the company that I love. But find your happy place in life and wake up with intention and purpose. Because you know what? You have a decision. You can either be sad that day with the situations that go on, or you can say, you know what? I'm going to be at peace. I'm going to be at peace, and I'm going to find
Amen.
And intentionally be happy to stay. Listen, we're out of time, you all. Please thank all of you all for listening tonight. Those of you all we weren't able to get to, we certainly do appreciate that. Call 15 minutes before the show starts. Press 1 on your dial so we'll be able to put you in the queue. Listen, we'll be back here next week, next Thursday for the Dr. J. Schwartz Show, or next Friday for your one-hour inspirational program, followed by Saturday morning for your Miracle International Divine Intervention Day program. So until next week sometime, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. God bless you all.
Everybody.
God bless everybody.
God bless you, brother.
Good night. God bless everybody.
On the road. And enjoy the show. Keep safe and keep well, everybody. Good show. And good closing,
Amen.
Dr. Patty.
Amen.
Amen. Amen to that, Dr. Patty K. That was a great closing.
God bless you all.
Thank you.
All. Okay, though.
Good night.
Brother Lorenzo, you drive safely out there, brother. Drive safely.
Yes, sir. I got about 8 more hours to go, sir. I thank you for that, Pastor Roo.
Wow.
Okay, we want to pray. We're going to pray that you have a safe trip. Marjorie, give him a quick prayer for a safe trip.
Keep safe, Brother Lorenzo. May God bless you. May God keep you. May make his face shine in you. May lift you all up. May give you all peace, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because God
that
is with you. Amen.
That means a lot to me. I got about 10 angels right beside me in the passenger seat right now. After that prayer.
You have what? You have what?
He said 10 angels. 10
angels. Oh, 10 angels. Oh, yes. Well, trust me.
10 in the passenger seat and 20 in the cargo.
Good. I am happy.
Thank you, baby. Y'all have a good week.
All right. God
appreciate
bless.
That, Mark.
Same to you, Brother Lorenzo. God bless everyone.
God bless. And I'll be praying for
God
y'all this
bless
weekend,
you.
Too.
All right. Thank you. And I am here for you. Stay focused.
God bless you, too.
All right. Thank you. The angels are all around you. Alrighty. Have a good night, everyone. Take care.